Praise God, it's the river of anointing, and that's the presence of God, and that's where we want to be all the time, in His presence. We welcome you today to Living the Good Life. This is a broadcast brought to you live. We are here live on Memorial Day weekend in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. Living the Good Life is a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries Incorporated. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and my sidekick, my wonderful friend and buddy, is Connie Farmer, and she's right here in the studio with me. So we're not on doing some calling today. We're here live, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you prefer to be there here alive?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it's powerful.
It's powerful.
Very
it
powerful.
Is. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? It's great. We hope you're all enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. If you are in our Tampa Bay area,
it is beautiful.
It is sunny. It is hot.
94 degrees.
94 degrees. And that's a little hot for us, really. That's kind of up there. But anyway, you know what? We're hot for God today, Connie.
Yeah.
We're excited
Absolutely.
About what God's going to do on this radio show today.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you that routinely tune in and are a part of our listening audience, we appreciate that. Tell somebody, tell them about Living the Good Life, and God is doing some great things on this broadcast, and we're seeing a lot of results and seeing people's lives changed and new things happening. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's the time to remember things from the past, isn't it, Connie?
Mm-hmm. But don't dwell on them.
But don't dwell on them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to remember those heroes, you
yes.
know, so to speak,
yeah.
that have gone before us. We like to remember all the war veterans and the people that have given their life for freedom. And there are so many of those scattered around the globe. And we have armed forces from the United States in so many countries. And, you know, a shout out to all of those. And we appreciate you and appreciate your dedication and what you do. I have a nephew and his wife that have been in the Air Force now for 4 years, been in Afghanistan and Kosovo and different places mm-hmm. giving their time. And it's really cool to know all of the people who give their time and do that so that those of us back here who don't go to war can live freely.
Right.
You know, it's a sacrifice. You have two nephews, don't you,
yeah,
right now in the military?
Yeah. They just finished basic training and they're doing some advanced training. One of them's in the reserves and the other one's active duty.
Exactly.
But the one in the reserve says that his unit's going to go get deployed in January.
In January.
Mm-hmm.
And they're twins.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff and John. Yeah. So we appreciate all of our family members and all those out there who fight for freedom.
My stepbrother was in Iraq.
Oh,
for
really?
A tour. Yeah, for
okay.
about a year.
Fantastic.
He's back and he's out of the service now, but
yes.
Yeah, he was there for a year.
Yes. Well, there's so many that have been fighting and going. And one of our own, Mike, is probably getting mm-hmm. ready to go again to Iraq for the third tour.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our own Beacon people. So we do appreciate all that. When we think of freedom and we think of this Memorial Day weekend, we think of those who have given their lives and those who have suffered for the name of freedom. And today's show is really going to change your life because we're going to talk about the freedom that we all can have in God, the freedom in Jesus that is there to be had, you know?
Yes.
We just have to find out about it. There are so many people who go through life and don't have a clue as to how free they can be. Instead, they go through life all bound up. You've never known anybody like that, have you, Connie?
Just me.
I mean, haven't we all?
Yeah.
We've all been there.
We've been there, and I can't explain the freedom. It's hard to describe.
Yes.
But you just don't have those burdens. You don't have to carry all that
exactly.
junk. You
yes.
don't have to worry about things. If
yes.
you just give it all to God.
Yes. And it's a process to learn how to do that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, because you like to give it to them, then you somehow take it back and then carry it for a while. And then you realize, oh, I'm doing this again. And so here, take it.
Well, I know a lot of people who feel like that, you know, people don't care about you if they're not worrying about you, you know, and worry mm-hmm. is somehow set up here as a means of true support of somebody. And God tells us not to worry. Worry is actually sin. And mm-hmm. so is fear and walking in what if anxiety. You know, we all battle these things, anxiety, stress and fear and worry. And today's show is about being truly free. This Memorial Day weekend, it's driving a stake in the ground and saying, God, I choose to live a free life, not one that's all bound up by all kinds of things from my past. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the wars that are fought have to do with past issues.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, in these countries, there's, you know, this and that. And a lot of wars are religious wars, too.
Yes.
You know, and because of that, there can be, you know, these things can go on for years, these wars, these vendettas, these awful things. And God really wants us to be free, and he wants us to live not just in a free country, but he wants us to live in a free mind. Mm-hmm. He wants our mindset to become free.
How else can we tell others about him and how great he is?
Yes.
If we, you know, if we've got all this worry and crap going on in our head.
Exactly.
You can't be free to just share and enjoy life.
Exactly. We want to get to the point, and we are saying this today on this show, we can get to the point where we live more free in our minds, in our spirits, on the real personality. Your real personality can become more free than it ever has been before, instead of all bound up. And that's good news this Memorial Day. Wow.
I guess I'm an example or a specimen of what we're saying, because gosh, I don't even remember when it was. November of 2004 or 5.
Something
when I
like
went,
that.
When I went through deliverance and just, you know, things were just, there were, you know, after counseling for a while and then doing the actual deliverance and the weight that was lifted off of me. You know, I never knew I was carrying it because I just thought, I mean, I'm big anyway, but that was a huge weight that was lifted.
And you just thought that was normal to feel all that junk on the inside.
Yeah.
And through weeks of counseling with the staff at Beacon of Hope and then going through special prayer, which mm-hmm. we call deliverance, special mm-hmm. prayer, where we just really stand against these things that have been harassing you, you became free like you've never known before.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you right now for every certain person out there that is listening to this broadcast today. We just speak hope. We speak freedom into their lives. Lord, let them desire to really get a handle on this freedom that we can have in you. Lord, we thank you for every song that it'll bless us today. We thank you for every word that is spoken. We give you the honor and the glory as we begin this show right now, Living the Good Life. We give you glory and praise. Listen to this first song, The Basics of Life.
The page for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us light? And where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awaken the back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of a life, a heart that is pure and the love that of a life. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
his rage is the reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive, but I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
Whoa, I still believe
there's hope for the lost,
and I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time. Of life, a heart that is pure and the love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics we need to get back to, the basics of life. That is pure and a love that is mine.
Praise God. All right, we need to get back to the basics of life. What a great song. A heart that is pure, love that's blind, faith fervently grounded in Christ, and a hope that endures for all time. And that's what we're talking about today, the basics of life and how that affects you and your freedom. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. Wednesday night, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come and study the Word of God with us. 6 o'clock is prayer and praise. 7 o'clock is Bible teaching. We have great Wednesday night discussions, and I really do my best to try to get everybody to enter in. Bring your Bible, bring your notebook. We have tables and chairs set up. We are temporarily meeting in the Howard Johnson's Resort. And you can come in through the lobby and you will find us there in a beautiful room. And that is at the corner of US 19 and 580 in Clearwater, Dunedin, right there at that corner. So we welcome you this Wednesday night. So we're glad that you have joined us today. We're talking about freedom in Christ. Go with me, if you have your Bible, to John chapter 15. We were here last week and we were talking about these words of Jesus. And want to go down to these. This is the chapter where Jesus says that he's the vine and we're the branches, and that without him, we can do nothing, you know, but with him, we can do all things. And I love that. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can learn to be free. I can learn to give up my hangups and my junk that I've had for so long. I can learn to walk in newness of life because of Jesus and what he's already done. In John 15, about verse 11, it says this. These are the words of Jesus. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be full of joy than full of sadness and grief and sorrow, wouldn't you? It says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of you out there today are feeling weak emotionally. You're feeling weak physically. Maybe you've got a lot of stuff going on. Maybe you got some family problems or whatever it is in your life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And some of you may be saying, Pastor, you don't realize this, but I don't feel very joyful right now, and I don't have anything to be happy about. Joy comes from deep within, from a knowledge that God loves you and has a plan for your life and that he is working on the inside of you. Jesus says in John 15, verse 11, this is my command. This is not a suggestion. Jesus does not say here, this is my suggestion. If you feel like it, okay. If you don't feel like doing this, well, forget it. This is my command, says Jesus in John 15:11. Love one another the way I loved you. Do you know a big part of our joy comes from loving? Did you know that? So many of us get full of bitterness and resentment and hurt and unforgiveness, and we can't really walk the love walk when that is going on. And as a result of that, we lose our strength. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not going to feel a lot of joy if you're walking around in a bunch of bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment. Jesus said, love one another the way I loved you. Well, how did he love us? He went to the cross for us. He gave up his life for us. He laid down his life for you. And he says, you are my friends. Friends. What's a friend? Connie's my friend. We've been friends for a long time. I know that any time, day or night, I can call her. And I can say, Con, I need prayer. I need you to talk to me. And God says that, Jesus says right here to us, you're my friends. We can call him anytime. He can talk to us anytime. You're my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. You see, in this life of freedom that we're going to talk about today on this show, it's all about being Jesus' friend. It's not about being a servant, although he does want us to be a servant. That's a dimension of it. But what we're talking about today is being so closely knit to God and to his son Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, the three in one, that you walk around in freedom knowing that God loves you. You don't walk around in condemnation and defeat. You walk around in freedom knowing that God loves you. He said, I've called you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. What does a true friend do? A true friend tells you what's going on with them in their life. And they say, hey, yeah, this is bothering me. Or guess what? This has made me happy. Or this is a new person I've just met. Or whatever. A true friend has good communication there. And Jesus said, you're my friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. In other words, Jesus does not keep information from us. A true friend will say, hey, let me tell you what happened. You know, let me tell you about this that happened in my life. Jesus is your friend. This is one huge concept as you begin to walk in freedom instead of bondage. Jesus loves you, my friend. Everyone listening out there, God has a plan for your life. Everyone listening out there, God loves you. Everyone listening out there, you are the friend of Jesus. You're his friend. You're his friend. You're not his enemy. God loves you. I don't know how many times I need to say that in this broadcast, but that will truly bring freedom to you when you realize how much God really loves you. And he says, I've named you friends, not enemies, because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, he says, and that is verse 16 of John 15. Remember, I chose you. Here's freedom right here. God chose you. Here's bondage. The devil says, God doesn't really love you. The devil comes and says, nobody really cares about what happens to you. The devil comes and says, you know what? You have messed up so many times. God can't accept you and love you. And here is true freedom. Jesus' words here in John chapter 15, verse 16. You didn't choose me. I chose you and put you in the world for a reason. Today, God was speaking to my heart. I'm a realtor too, and I was sitting at an open house that nobody came to, and you've heard me say this before, when nobody comes, I have spent a lot of time with God, and I was sitting there, and God just spoke to my heart today, and he said, you know, this very concept, I chose you. I have a plan for your life. And he was just really, it's almost like somebody was in this room, in this house with me. And because that was that strong that he was speaking to my heart. I chose you. I have a plan for you. You know what happened when I began to feel that God was saying that to my heart this afternoon? Joy began to rise up in me. God, you got a plan for me. God, you love me. You know what happens when joy begins to rise up into you? Then you get stronger. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And Jesus said here, you didn't choose me. Remember this, I chose you. Whoever is out there listening today, you need to hear this. I'm going to say it one more time. God chose you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He put you in this world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. Did you know you were put in this world for a reason? You were put here so that you could be a fruit bearer. And some of us go, what does that mean? I've got an orange tree in my backyard here in Palm Harbor, Florida. And it is beginning to, it's a little tree. It's only about 4 feet tall, but it's starting to put fruit out, oranges. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing in Florida, because we have things called fruit rats that love fruit trees. But anyway, it is a good thing, because how would you have your morning orange juice right now sitting in Arizona or wherever you are, Utah or whatever, if you didn't have those wonderful orange trees from Florida that is making all that Tropicana orange juice for you? But what's the purpose of an orange tree? The purpose of an orange tree is to bear fruit, correct? The orange tree is not sitting there in my backyard just so it's got nice, pretty green leaves. It's sitting there so that one day I can walk out, which I have, and get an orange off of that tree and peel it and eat it, okay? That's the purpose. The purpose of the orange tree is to bear fruit. Guess what, my dear friend? Let this set you free. You are not here on this earth just to be Satan's whipping post. And we'll say it again. You are not here on this earth just to be beat up by the devil in your mind or in your physical body, at your job, or whatever is going on in your life. You are not here just to be beat up and beat around. You are here to bear fruit. Jesus doesn't say in this verse, I put you on this earth so I could beat you up. I put you on this earth so I could just knock you around a little bit. No, God does use our trials. We've talked about that a lot on Living the Good Life. God does use our trials to make us stronger and to teach us to trust Him. But we are here for a reason. Dear one, if you hear nothing else today on Living the Good Life, I want you to hear this. You are here to bear fruit. Fruit. And Connie and I are going to talk about that fruit bearing in a little while. Jesus says here, you didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. Fruit that won't spoil. Now, if any of you have ever, most of you listening to this broadcast have not been in the bottom of my refrigerator in some of those bins that need to be cleaned out. But there are times where there's fruit there that's just been there too long. And when you open it, oh gosh, you see those brown spots and you think, oh, I should have eaten those apples. Man, I intended to eat those apples, you know. And you know what? What is appealing about a piece of fruit that's all spoiled? Nothing. It's pretty rotten. It's nasty. I mean, I look at it, I smell it, and I go, oh, shoot, that is nasty. I get rid of it. I take it out of that refrigerator bin, and I take it, and I put it in the trash and get rid of it, okay? Because it's not good for anything, okay? And Jesus said, I didn't put you in the world so that you would spoil. You know, I don't want you to spoil. He said, as fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, He gives you. We are not to be fruit and producing fruit that spoils. In other words, the actions from our lives, from our mouths, from the things we say and what we do are to bear good fruit. That is fruit that tastes great. There's nothing like an orange, a fresh orange that comes off of an orange tree in Florida, and you peel it and you taste it and the juicy, oh, sweetness of that orange, or an apple, fruit that is good fruit, or a banana, okay? And he says, that's what I want you to be, fruit bearers, so that whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, He gives you. We talked last week about how do we get our prayers answered. And here's one of the keys to getting your prayers answered. You got to learn to be a fruit bearer. Now, some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, I thought you said this show was about freedom. This is true freedom. When you become what God intended you to be, that is true freedom. What did he intend you to be? He intended you to be good fruit. He intended you to bear good fruit. That was his intention for you and for your life. And in verse 17 of John 15, Jesus says, but remember the root command, love one another. Love one another. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. You see, his whole nature is love, and the biggest fruit on the tree is fruit of love, and God's whole nature is love, and he intends for his children to learn to bear much fruit, and that fruit is love. That's what he intends for you. He intends for you to learn how to love. Let's go over to the book of Galatians for a moment, and then I'm going to bring Connie back in a minute, and we are going to talk about some of this fruit bearing in our lives. You know, it's interesting to note that the military in our country, they go and they fight for our freedom, don't they? Why do they fight for our freedom? Because there are governments and there are groups of people around the world who don't want you to be free, who don't want you to live in a society where you can love and be loved. There are groups of people who want you to be under their control and their power and their dominion. And so our government sends soldiers to fight these battles so that you can indeed be free to be who God has called you to be and to learn to walk in the love walk. A lot of war is based on hate. Would you agree with that? A lot of war is based on hate. It's not based on love. And a lot of times it's based on somebody's opinions, that they've got to have that opinion out. We're going to talk more about this in a minute. You're listening to Living the Good Life. Don't go anywhere. Station identification is right now. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
All right. That's our station identification. We love being on this radio network. And actually, this network goes around the world with our web, worldwide web streaming around the world. And now some of you may be watching us. And Connie, as she just had a coughing attack, but is now back in the room. Some of you can watch us on the video streaming that they're doing now here in the radio station. And anyway, we're so glad that you've joined us. You are listening to Living the Good Life, and this is a radio outreach ministry from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Incorporated. We're in our seventh year as a ministry, and we've had the local church, and God is now moving us out and doing some different things. We still have the local Bible study on Wednesday night in the Dunedin Clearwater area, which we told you about a little while ago. This Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Howard Johnson's Resort on US 19, right at the intersection of 580. You are welcome. Invite a friend. Bring your Bible and a notebook. We are also taking the ministry on the road. And Connie and I were in Pensacola a few weeks ago ministering in New Hope Christian Center. What a great weekend. Didn't we have fun?
Yes.
We ministered to a lot of people, and God was just so there. What his presence. Wonderful. 2 weeks from today, Connie, I will be in Indiana. You don't get to go with me this time.
Mm-mm. But somebody's
hopefully the
hold
next
the fort
time.
Down
somebody's
got
to hold the fort down here. 2 weeks from this weekend, I will be in Indiana, in Newcastle, Indiana, on Saturday night, June 7th, as we take the ministry on the road. And this is the town that I pastored in Indiana. Started a church back in 1985, pastored for 7 years to the day, actually, before moving to Florida to continue in ministry. And I will be ministering up there. You may check our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com this week to see the location of that service. It'll be Saturday night, June 7th at 6 o'clock in Newcastle, Indiana. If you're in the area, we want you to join us. I will have my books, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace, and Living Large and Loving It, these two books that Beacon of Hope Publishing published last year, that God is blessing us through those books and blessing you if you get a copy of those. So if you're in that area, join us. Connie, I love to talk about true freedom here.
Yes.
Isn't it better to be free than to be all bound up?
Oh, yes.
You know, I don't know about you. When I was a kid, we would play Cowboys and Indians, my cousins and I. One of my cousins, Greg, if you're listening today, he listens a lot. He lives in Pinellas Park, and Greg listens a lot to the radio broadcasting. And Greg and I, we were cowboys, or we were Indians, or whatever we had to be. But we played a lot of games like that as little kids. And we would, you know, tie each other up and, you know, all the things you do. And then somebody comes and rescues you and, you know, all those little games that you play. And I don't know about you, but I would think that because I have not had this happen to me, praise God, but if you were arrested right now and somebody put handcuffs on your hands, I mean, we did that as kids, you know,
That you knew you could snap out of them.
We knew we could come right out of it. We had the little key, you know, on our little belt and all that stuff. We could get right out of it. But if somebody were to come in right this moment and put my hands behind my back and put handcuffs on my hands, Connie, I would freak.
I mean, I would too.
It would be the weirdest, awfulest feeling to be bound up and not be able to, you know, use my hands. I have to use my hands to talk. Did you know that? Wouldn't that be a weird feeling? And so many people walk around with their emotions, their personalities bound up like there's handcuffs on their personalities.
Like in a straitjacket almost.
Like in a straitjacket, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as in nursing, have you ever seen anybody in a straitjacket?
Yep.
It's not a pretty sight, is it?
No. Because they're usually screaming, too.
They're screaming, and they're, like, wanting out of that mess, and horrible.
It's for their own safety, but still, we use leather shackles or posy belts and, you know, for people that are confused and to keep them in bed unless they have somebody in their room that can stay with them.
Right. But emotionally, this happens to people all the time, and a lot of people don't even know they're bound. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know about you, but I went many years not realizing that I had issues of this or that or that or that or that.
I didn't. I knew that I didn't like to talk in public. I got uncomfortable just having a one-on-one conversation with somebody.
And here you're on the radio around the world right this minute, Connie.
Oh yeah.
How did that happen?
I mean, just through the grace of God and deliverance. That's the only thing that can take it totally away.
Right. And you had those fears and you didn't really realize where they came from or how you got them.
No. And, you know, the feelings of unworthiness and feelings of not being good enough.
Right.
You know, and never being successful, feeling like I was never really successful, all those kind of things.
And all those feelings feel good, don't they?
Yeah.
No, they don't, do they? Well,
no. And you know, to know that it was all just a lie of the devil.
Yes.
And his own trickery.
Right.
But being relieved of those is just, I mean, a freedom that you can't describe.
No. Would you rather be free from that stuff?
Absolutely.
Or would you rather be bound up your whole life?
No, absolutely free.
Well, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to set us free. Mm-hmm. In fact, he said in Luke 4, his first sermon that he preached and his first declarations in Luke 4, and if you want to follow along with this later, not right now, but you can look and see that he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Okay, I came to bring good news to those that are bound up. That was one of the first things Jesus said in his ministry, Connie. I came to do that. So if Jesus came to do that, he did that so that we could bear fruit. Okay, and the fruit that we're talking about is so we could have peace of mind, right?
Yep.
So that we could walk in joy. Mm-hmm. And when we said a minute ago in the teaching, when you have that joy, the joy of the Lord becomes
your strength.
Your strength. You know? If you walk around in sadness and misery all the time and like, oh, woe is me, and if I had no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Yeah.
You know, that old song from Hee Haw, woe is me.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's your attitude, that's what you're going to have. You're not going to be able to reap the blessings of the Lord with that.
Well, not only that, but bad things happen in our lives.
They do.
You know, people die. People, you know, have accidents. They have, you know, situations. And if you don't have that strength, you'll only feel like you're losing your mind. You're losing your whole being.
Right.
And not be able to go on. And you have to be able to hold it together for those ones around you.
Absolutely.
And then, and only then, can you be a testimony for somebody else.
Oh, absolutely. And isn't that bearing fruit?
Absolutely.
I mean, and when you reach out and you're surrounded maybe by somebody who's just lost a loved one or somebody who's really miserable or whatever, and in that case, you become that fruit bearer because you put your arms of love around them or comfort. You comfort them the way God chose for you to comfort them. You bring joy to the situation. But when you're all bound up on the inside yourself, and you're feeling so insecure, and you're feeling like, oh, I don't have anything to say. What could I say? I can't do anything to help this situation. That's exactly where the devil wants you, right there, all bound up.
And even if you think there's nothing you really can do, pray.
Pray.
Because that's exactly the best thing you can do.
Exactly.
You know, this week, a real sad story. Stephen Curtis Chapman's little girl was killed.
Yes.
And, you know, I just can't imagine the feelings that he has.
No.
But I do know that the joy of the Lord is his strength.
Exactly.
And he has the joy of the Lord.
Amen. And we reach out to the Chapman family right now and pray
Absolutely.
For them. And we've been doing that this week and mm-hmm. speaking a blessing to their lives. And that God would send people in their lives to comfort them, which I know he's doing. But mm-hmm. above all, that the Holy Spirit would bring that comfort.
Yes.
And those of you listening today, there might be some tragedy happening in your life, in whatever area, maybe in a relationship, maybe with a child, mm-hmm. Maybe with some finances, maybe with your job, whatever it is. God wants you to hear this today. He loves you so much, and he doesn't want you bound up by the circumstances of that pain and suffering and the loss that's going on in your life. He wants you to learn to bear fruit of joy, peace, patience, goodness mm-hmm. in the midst of your problem. You know, last year, Connie, I sat down and God gave me in 12 days, and I couldn't quit typing for 12 days, my first book, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace. And those of you out there who don't have a copy can go to our website and order it, and we'll send it to you free postage. But, you know, during those 12 days, it was like the accumulation of years of suffering and things I'd gone through. And it just was suddenly a window of clarity of why we go through the things we go through. Mm-hmm. And I tried my best to describe that in that book. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to many, many people as the years come along because of those insights. Because God does make something good out mm-hmm. of the yuck that happens in our
Absolutely.
Lives. He really does. He wants us to be fruit bearers. If you, some of you can relate to this. Maybe you've known somebody who was a prisoner of war. I know somebody, he's now gone on to be with the Lord, but many years ago, he was a prisoner of war in a Russian concentration camp.
Wow.
And he's a distant relative of mine, okay? And he was there for a number of years and during World War II. And it affected him
wow.
to a great extent. And it had lasting problems in his life as a result of that torture. You know, when you're in that kind of a prison situation, or let's think of Corrie ten Boom, remember, mm-hmm. in World War II, and her story is incredible. If you want to be uplifted, get a copy of her book.
Yes.
I can't remember the title of it right this minute. The Hiding Place? By Corrie ten Boom, I think.
That might
maybe.
Have been Anne Frank's name.
Maybe that was it. Maybe that was it.
You might have the two of them mixed up.
I probably do. But there was Corrie ten Boom. Go get a book of hers, and it'll absolutely bless you how God sustained her in the midst of horrible conditions in World War II, where she should have been killed, where she should have given up, where she should have died from starvation or, you know, a gunshot or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But God sustained her in the midst of the battle,
right.
Okay? And yet, in through all that, he was there ministering to her, down on the inside of her, encouraging her and telling her, don't worry, I'm going to take care of this. And he did, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is such an encouragement to all of us today, that in the midst of the battle we're going through, the battlefield, by the way, guys, is in your mind.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything to say to that, Connie? The battle is in your mind. It's usually not that you're tied up in a jail cell.
No. A long time ago, one of our Wednesday nights, I was talking about how our minds is like a computer, garbage in, garbage out.
Right, yes.
And, but we have no filter for our own voice, our own words, and our own, you know, thoughts. And, you know, as you're talking to me, I might want to filter something out or you know, I might go off into a daydream, you
la,
know,
la,
whatever.
Land.
Yeah.
Try to stay with me.
I'll try. But I have no filter against what I say.
Right.
And so as I speak it and I hear it and I keep doing that,
yes.
I keep putting junk in that, you know, if I'm
exactly.
playing old tapes or
yes.
whatever, you know, so the whole circuit just keeps going. And
fantastic. What you're saying is we do a lot of damage to ourselves by what we say comes out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not good enough for God to ever use me. Oh, God, you know, I don't know enough scripture for God to ever cause me to pray for someone. Mm-hmm. One of our dear members has just beginning to get a hold of how much God wants to use him in praying for people. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, God has been opening doors right and left for him to pray for people.
And he's doing it.
And he's doing a fantastic job.
Yes.
Before he was like, oh, God, I don't know what to say, mm-hmm. because the battle is in our mind, and the devil comes and says, you're a prisoner. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Prisoners can't do that.
But you spoke that word over him.
I did, back
in August.
And he
believed it.
Yes.
You know, and even though his belief wavered a little bit, you know, at times when it was like, oh, what am I going to say? How am I going to do this?
Right.
You know, but he stepped out, like you said, stepped out in faith. And actually did it.
Praise God.
And he is just a powerhouse.
He's a powerhouse. And he mm-hmm. calls and says, you will not believe what happened now. This person came into my path. And they said, I really need prayer. Could you pray for me right mm-hmm. now? And he goes, yeah, okay. And he does it.
It's so cool.
And it's so cool. We praise God for what he's doing. That is bearing fruit.
Right.
And that is stomping on the handcuffs and mm-hmm. the chains that the devil would put on us and yeah. saying, no way, devil, we're not putting up with that. I'm gonna step out and I am gonna pray for so and so. And I am gonna become all I can be, and I'm gonna bear fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. I'm gonna bear that stuff in my life. I am not going to sit around in discouragement, fear, depression, anxiety, worry, all of it.
Well, then, and not only add regret to that too, because what if he didn't pray for those people and something happened to them? And what if that prayer could have made a difference? You know, we'd never know that, but still, that would cause all kinds of grief for him.
And a lot of times we're bound up, I agree, because we mm-hmm. think, who am I?
Yeah.
Listen to this song.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Praise God. I am yours. It's because of who you are. You're listening to Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're glad you're with us. Wow, that's good stuff, Connie. That was really good stuff. We're in Galatians chapter 5. And the whole concept of freedom versus bondage is so critical to your life. You may not even have ever realized how important it is that you learn to walk in total freedom. You know, it's because of what Jesus did, it said in that song we just played. It's because of what he did. And when we begin to realize he went to the cross and died on the cross for me, for my sin, for my baggage, for my junk, for my anxieties, for my loneliness, for my despair, for my worry, for all of my guilt and sin and shame. Because of that, Jesus went to the cross. And because of that, and he died for us, we can become free in him. And we can live a different way. We don't have to live all bound up. We can absolutely fight for our freedom and say, you know what? I refuse, Satan, for you to do this to my mind. I refuse to give you permission to absolutely destroy my peace and take my joy and take the love in my life. I refuse, Satan, to let you take from me the peace that I have when I lay my head down on my pillow at night. And so many people go to bed full of anxiety. We've all been there. We've all done that. But God wants us to have a new day of freedom in him. And what happens when we live God's way? I'm in Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to look with me at verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. Now, these are the verses that are very familiar to a lot of people of the fruit of the Spirit. Connie, do you have your Bible right there in the NIV? Mm-hmm. Read them in the NIV, the nine fruit of the Spirit. That's love, joy.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Okay, those are the nine. Okay, those are words that we all understand and a lot of us memorized that fruit that way. This is what God really wants to grow in your life. He doesn't want you growing weeds in your life, weeds of anxiety and fear and torment and shame and all that junk, lust, all the junk that the devil throws at us. Instead, God wants you to be growing fruit in your life, fruit that remains love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness. Now, listen to these same nine in the Message Bible. It just kind of gives a different feeling to it. It's in our modern day translation, Galatians 5:22. What happens when we live God's way? This is the question that Paul asks. What happens when we live God's way? Okay, we are equating living God's way with true freedom. Did everybody get that? We are equating. They equal each other. Living God's way equals true freedom. Okay? And here it says in Galatians 5:22, God brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. And here's the gifts. Now, everybody loves Christmas or your birthday, and I'm not celebrating mine this year, by the way, Connie. We're not celebrating my birthday, okay? Because it's like turning a certain...
Big number.
No, it's turning a number.
With a zero on the end.
Yeah, with a zero on the end. So we're not celebrating that this year, but if I were to celebrate my birthday, there would be gifts, right? And when God brings...
Gag gifts.
Yeah, that's right. God brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Some of you are going, is she going to turn 30?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's what you were thinking. Okay. Just gifts like God brings in, like on an orchard. Things like, now listen to these, affection for others. Now in the NIV, that's translated love. Okay. Affection for others, love. Exuberance about life. That's translated joy in the NIV. Exuberance about life. I like that translation. I don't know about you, but I'm high on life. I love living life and seeing what God's going to bring each day. I'm not ready to go on to be with Jesus. Someday I will, but right now, no, especially when I'm just now beginning to turn 30 or 40 or 50 or something like that. Anyway, exuberance about...
70.
Oh, shut up. No, folks, no, that's not true. Anyway, exuberance about life is joy. Serenity is translated peace in the NIV. Serenity. There are organizations out there, and I'm all for them. AA, Al-Anon. The whole concept there is to learn to live in serenity, which is peace. And these are the fruit that God brings in your life. This is your true freedom, dear ones. I'm going to read those first three again. Affection for others. That's love. Exuberance about life. That's joy. Exuberance about life. Serenity. That is peace. A willingness. The next one is, do we develop a willingness to stick with things? Is that patience in your translation? Mm-hmm. Okay. Willingness to stick with things. Patience. Okay. Boy, isn't that needed in this day? Wow. That's one of my things I can't stand is how pet peeve. That's what I was looking for. How hard it is for people to be committed and stick with things. A willingness to stick with things. A sense of compassion in the heart. Is that goodness?
Kindness.
Kindness. Compassion in the heart. Compassion in the heart. Kindness. Boy, we need a little more kindness in this life, don't we? We need to see people showing the compassion of God. A conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people.
That's goodness.
That's goodness. A conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments. Faithfulness. That's right. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments. Praise God. Not needing to force our way in life. That's long-suffering, isn't it?
Well, or gentleness.
Gentleness.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Not needing to force our way in life. Gentleness. Right. And able to marshal and direct our energies wisely.
Self-control.
Self-control. Wow. This is what it's all about. This is the fruit that God wants you to bear in your life. Is it easy? No, not really. Are there times that we say, God, I don't understand how that can develop in my life? Well, it starts with a basic desire to be what God wants you to be and to be who he wants you to be and to fulfill his plan for your life. Some of you are going through life just with that fire insurance we talk about, that if you die tonight, you're going to heaven because you asked Jesus in your heart. Well, you know what? You're just falling so short of true freedom in God. You know, we can be saved and still be bound up. We can be bound up by the things that have been nasty habits for years, or we can be bound up by the ways of thinking, stinking thinking, we call it, where, you know, you're just down on yourself all the time, or you're a critical spirit where you're always critical of others, or maybe you're a controller where everybody's got to do it your way or you're going to take your toys and go home. You know, these are not godly characteristics. Maybe you're the kind of person that sits around frets and worries all day long and gets everybody around you so upset that they are constantly trying to make you happy and to get your mind off of your immediate problem or your suffering you're going through right now. Maybe you're the type of person that never says anything positive. Connie mentioned this a minute ago, garbage in, garbage out. What we say coming out of our own mouths a lot of times causes a lot of our problems. What comes out of my own mouth is so important. Do I say, God, I give you this issue. God, I choose to believe that you have an answer for this. Or do I continually call 19 friends and tell them how bad my situation is? You see, God wants us to learn to control the words of our mouths and let those words be what he would have them be, you know, and be something that's going to bear good fruit, fruit like affection for others, exuberance about life, you know, the serenity and all of these things we're talking about right here. You know, the soldiers that fight for our freedom, they did that willingly. You know, those that, and some of them were drafted, but we haven't had draft for a while. But my dad was drafted in World War II, and he was 18 years old. And he was going to be a doctor, and he had a full scholarship to DePaul University to be a medical doctor. And World War II started, and 18-year-old young man that he was, he got drafted, and he was sent to Germany. And I never heard my dad say, I wish that hadn't happened to me. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of good came from that, and he was called to the ministry while he was on the battlefield. His life changed entirely. He did not become the doctor. Instead, he became a minister and a missionary, an evangelist and a pastor and a teacher. He became all of that as a result of his battlefield experience. But my dad has said through the years, and he's now with Jesus, but he said that there were times in the battle, Connie, where the fear was so strong. And there was one particular time where they were bombing all around, and he was hiding in a haystack on an open field. And he really thought he was dying, okay? And he said he's never felt that kind of fear ever. And he just said, God, I can't do anything about this. And he just mumbled out loud, God, you're going to have to take away my fear because I think I'm going to die of fright right now in my chest. You know, I think I'm going to die of a heart attack. He thought that at 18, 19 years old, because the fear was so intense. And he, as he used to tell the story, he would say, and God did it right then. And suddenly he got out of that haystack and ran and was saved. His life was spared. But God gave him the strength. My dad, Bill Wagner, got the strength to get out of that haystack and run across that field. And his life was saved, and he learned a huge lesson. And it was during that experience that God gave him Psalm 27. And some of you out there, you want a psalm that's going to bless you and help you. And it starts out, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And Psalm 27, we used in his funeral a few months ago, was his favorite passage. And the last verse of Psalm 27 says this, I would have despaired unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord right now in the land of the living. Before we go to this song, Disappear, listen to that one more time. Write it down in your notes, Psalm 27, and study it later. Psalm 27, the last verse says, I would have despaired unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord right now in the land of the living. God wants you to see his goodness, and he wants you to be a fruit bearer. Listen to this song. We'll be right back.
On a day like this, I want to crawl beneath the rock. A million miles from the world, the noise, the commotion. That never seems to stop. And on a day like this, I wanna run from the routine. Run away from the daily grind that can suck the life right out.
Praise God, Connie. You did it again. Connie is our music director for the show, and she just waits on God, you know, as to what songs. I give her a theme at the beginning of the week. You know, as you all know, we don't plan what we're going to say. We have a theme of what we feel like God wants to get across, and we don't have notes or anything like that. We let the Holy Spirit lead. And Connie picks the songs, and we wait and see every week how they fit in. And I've never heard that song before, but that absolutely goes right as I disappear. As I take a back seat, as I disappear, I only want what you want to come out of me, God, and I want to see you coming out of me. And that's exactly what we're talking about on this show, is the true freedom comes from letting God come forth from us. Isn't that so cool? Isn't that cool?
It's wow. Phenomenal.
It is. Lee just Connie some Kleenex because she's crying in here. It's amazing because God wants us to take a back seat in our lives, and he wants to run the show. He wants to be the one. We need to be so tied into the vine that we're bearing fruit of love and joy and peace and patience. That's the goal, and that's true freedom.
Have you seen the new bumper sticker that says, if God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat.
Switch seats. Switch seats. Yes, I did see that. That's cool. Because he does want to run the show. Yeah. You know?
Well, he should. He knows better than we do.
But you know, it takes a while for us to get to that point where we really trust him. We've done many shows in the last over a year since we've been on the air here. We've done many shows on the theme of trusting God. And part of that is because I'm living it every day. And it's like I am learning to trust him in the midst of some of the hardest things that I've ever gone through. I'm learning to trust him. And it's a daily thing that we learn, you know? Mm-hmm. And as we give it up to God, you know, our desires, our things that we think way life should be, you know? And we say, God, you run it. You tell me. Mm-hmm. Develop in me patience. Ooh, that's a scary thing.
I work with a nurse that she was saying that she wanted something, but she wanted it now. And right. I said, well, whatever you do, don't ask God for patience, because he'll give you trials so that you will learn patience.
Right. So but that's the only way we learn it, you know?
True.
And to trust him, you know, by the trials we go through. Mm-hmm. And we learn to bear fruit because of those situations in our life where the love and the joy and the peace begins to flow from us, you know, because we are so in tune with him. You know, it's that being united to the vine to such an extent, that's true freedom, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. For instance, our soldiers, they've got the dog tags around their neck that they're mm-hmm. American soldiers, right. And they're free to go wherever they're sent in war. But, I mean, you know, that's a privilege to be an American soldier versus to be a soldier from some other country or whatever. There are true freedoms to that, you know?
Right.
Wow. What do we do about getting to a point, Connie, in our lives where we see our need to be truly free?
I think sometimes you have to come to a suddenly moment like your dad
suddenly
did.
Moment,
I was
yes.
going to say, why, but you were teaching, so I didn't want to interrupt, but, you know, suddenly it's like, you know, that blast of
yes.
bright light when
yes.
the angels appear or
yes.
the, you know, there's something, there's that huge epiphany that, you know, it's like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Something that, you know, you just realize that there's got to be a bigger, something bigger than you, and they're capable. He's capable of taking care of it.
Absolutely.
And just let him do it. Because look at the mess I made.
Right.
You know, just
we can
take
go
it
through
over.
Life all bound up, continuing to have our minds bombarded by obsessive behaviors and thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, obsessive behavior is just another trick of the enemy. Critical nature, that's just another trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, self-pity, that's another trick of the enemy. You know, depression, there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety to the point of that you just get into panic attacks. Those are tricks of the enemy. You know, not that we're all not stressed from time to time. We all are. But there's levels of it where mm-hmm. it controls you, you know. And those are tricks that the devil puts on us. And that's bondage. You know, that is bondage.
It is.
And God wants us free, wants us free.
Well, I think, you know, when you walk in his light and you bear fruit, and like I said before, when he brings those people into your path
right.
that you can share your situation with or share your experiences with, it makes you feel like you've done something,
right.
like you've borne fruit.
Yes.
You know, that you've actually kind of completed the circle. And so sometimes it feels like it's not such a bad thing after
right.
all that you went through it. And
exactly.
And it's like, oh, aha, this is why I did this. This is why I went through it, so I could share it with.
Exactly.
You know, or like with your book and writing about going through the fiery furnace and to be able to be on the road now and talking to people and giving that message to people who really need to hear it.
Exactly.
Who are just dying of a thirst
right.
to hear it.
Yes.
You know, that's, yeah. you know, that's why you went through it.
Absolutely.
As hard and as difficult and as horrific as it was, you know, you came out on the other side without smelling like fire.
There you go. And it's, the fruit is built into our lives through these trials,
mm-hmm.
really. You know, as we are treated poorly, let's say, by people, and yet we can respond in love. That's the fruit bearing mm-hmm. there. As we can feel extremely weak in our own emotional selves, and yet God comes in and the joy comes into our heart because of who he is and what he's done, you know? And suddenly strength comes into us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's that chorus we sing at Beacon sometimes. He gives strength to me as I worship him. I'll bear you guys. I won't sing any more of it, but I'll tell you the lines. He gives strength to me as I worship him.
You should say it.
And my mouth is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands
mm-hmm.
as
the
I
bondage.
Lift my hands,
mm-hmm.
bringing glorious victory, you know? And as we begin to let go and lift our hands and just say, I give it up, God, I can't walk around in this kind of depression, or I can't walk around anymore in this kind of sickness or fear or anxiety. God, mm-hmm. I'm not happy this way. Take it from me. And we begin to say, God, I want your nature to live in me to such an extent that when people bump into me, they get some Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is rubbing off of me. His yeah. love, his joy, his peace, his patience, you know, all those things, his patience, all of those things, you know, and that God allows us to go through trials that are going to try our patience,
mm-hmm.
that are going to see what we're made of, you know, how are we going to respond, you know, when somebody treats us bad at the office, you know, when somebody doesn't appreciate our work or doesn't treat us the way fairly, the way we think we should be treated. Or whatever.
Or cut you off in traffic.
Or cut you off in traffic. How do you respond, Connie?
Oh, better than I used to.
There you go. There you go. You know?
Sometimes but, still not so good, but I'm working on it.
But when you...
And I always ask for forgiveness.
There you go. Okay? And we're none of us, we're not sitting here on Living the
No.
Good Life today saying, Connie and I, Pastor Marcia, have it all together, and the rest of you bozos out there need to get with it. No, we're not saying
No.
that. You know what? If anything, we're admitting to you, we have gone through so much in our lives, and that's why I have four gray hairs, and that's why we have these four gray hairs, because we have gone through a lot, and we're
mm-hmm.
not saying we have it all figured out, but we are saying we are learning to trust God and learning to bear fruit.
There's a song, I keep thinking of this song, a Bob Carlyle song that's called Real Life or Real Love, I think it is. And he says, I'm not trying to say that I got everything together because half the time I can't find my keys.
And how true that is, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There's another old chorus that just came to my mind right now. Learning to lean, learning to lean. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Finding more.
Something.
Finding more peace or something that I've ever dreamed.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Finding more power.
Power.
Than I've ever dreamed. I knew peace didn't sound right. Finding more power. We find power as we learn to lean on Him.
Power, strength.
And then we bear the fruit. You see, when we're the branches, we're tied up to the vine, Jesus. As we get our strength from that vine, the nutrients come from that vine and give us strength because we're just the branches. Then we begin to bear that fruit, you know, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience. And people look at us and go, you know what? You're not the same old ornery scoundrel you used to be. You know, you're just a little happier these days. Or you seem to be walking in more love than you used to. Or how come you're so full of patience these days? I can't even imagine. You sure didn't used to act like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it happens. It happens.
It happens from
God
walking
teaches
with Jesus.
Us. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's walking with Him. Mm-hmm. It's trusting Him to do the work in us. And it's not something we can see, you know? I mean, how do you measure it? You know, okay, today I'm going to be 10 times stronger in the area of goodness than I've ever been.
It's measured when the pressure's on.
It's measured when the pressure's on. Connie, that's so true. It's measured when the pressure's on.
And what you spew out.
And that's true freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When we are that hooked into Jesus and talking to Him and walking with Him and walking down the street. I as my kids were very young, I began to teach them. You don't have to learn how to pray fancy, kids. You just have to learn how to talk to God, just like you talk to your mommy or your daddy. Mm-hmm. And you just say, God, I need to help right now. You know, help me do this or help me do that. And hopefully all three of my children and now my grandchildren are learning this lesson of just absolutely talking to God, and that's where that interaction between the vine and the branches happens, you know?
Yeah. I think that you're teaching us on how to pray and how to pray just talk.
Right.
Has made a big difference in me because I always tried to think of how I had to formulate how I was going to pray and what I was going to say. And a lot of times, you know, I'm not ever really been one that's thrilled about talking in public anyway. And so then you always ask me when I want to pray, do I want to pray? Or yeah. And yeah, you do. Or something like that. Volunteered.
Are you saying, Connie, that I volunteer you to pray?
Yeah.
I do, yes.
But when you do that, you get what you get.
Mm-hmm. And, it's okay.
Yeah. And it's just straight away, you know, what, you know, it's not these and thous and,
no.
And it's not like, you know, 2 hours worth of nodding off stuff,
no.
You know, and oh, by the way, and you know, so.
It really is that simple. And Jesus said in John 15 back there, He said, you're going to get answers to your prayer when you learn to abide in the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us think we're going to get answers to prayer when we get the magic formula, whatever the magic formula is. You know what the magic formula is? Learning to abide in the vine and the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to begin to bear that fruit, you know, where people say, wow, you know, you're different. You're not the same person, you know.
And learning the lessons from the situations that you get instead of having to keep going through them.
Yes.
That's such a key thing.
That's
kind of the definition of insanity is keep doing what you always did.
Right.
You're always going to get what you always got. But if you do something different and react differently and learn from the situation, then you can move on to the next step.
And it's all about...
Next level.
It's all about relying on that vine, Jesus, and saying, Jesus, I need you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you out there right now are saying, I don't know how to get more goodness in my life. I don't know how to be more faithful or more full of peace. I don't know how to do it. You simply go to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. Mm-hmm. Talk to Him and say, you know what they're talking about, this freedom? I want more of that.
Yep.
You just... come to Jesus. That's all you do. You just come to Jesus. That's all you do. Can you get his attention?
Lee.
You just come to Jesus. We were trying to get our engineer's attention.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Praise God. Connie, I've never heard that song. Chris Rice, come to Jesus and live. Sing to Jesus and live. Fall on Jesus and live. Cry to Jesus and live. Dance for Jesus and live. And fly to Jesus and live.
So many times we're so hard on ourselves because we think we're not worthy.
Yes.
Or we think that because we've done this or that and done it wrong, God will never, he'll never forgive us. And, you know, he's not that God that's standing there with
that's
a
right.
hammer waiting to whack us.
No.
And I don't, you know, it's a shame so many people were raised in church.
Right.
That, if we sin or we do something wrong, sin, I guess, that he's waiting there to just whack
to
us.
To beat us down.
Beat us down.
But he's not.
No. And
come to Jesus and live. Mm-hmm. There might be somebody out there today, Connie, who needs to make their first commitment to Jesus as their personal Savior or renew their commitment. Maybe they've strayed away and they realize the severity and the absolute seriousness of this, mm-hmm. and that in order to be truly free, they need to come to Jesus and live. And I'm going to pray the prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, Connie, and people can pray with you, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God has a purpose for my life.
That God has a purpose for my life.
And that He loves me.
And that He loves me.
I accept you now, Jesus.
I accept you now, Jesus.
To come and live in my heart.
To come and live in my heart.
By faith.
By faith.
Live in me and be my Lord and Savior.
Live in me and be my Lord and Savior.
Forgive me for everything I've ever done.
Forgive me for everything that I've ever done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I choose you as my Lord and Savior.
I choose you as my Lord and Savior.
Teach me how to be truly free.
Teach me how to be truly free.
I begin my life with you right now.
I begin my life with you right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you renewed your commitment, we want to hear from you. And you can email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can go to our website, which is www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out details about what's going on in the ministry, the Wednesday night Bible study in the Tampa Bay area. We have Sunday celebrations, and you can find that out. We have taken the ministry on the road, and we will be in Newcastle, Indiana, 2 weeks from last night, ministering live there, and it's going to be fantastic. A gathering of old friends.
That'll be great.
In footsteps of faith, teaching the word. I can't wait. My good friends Joan and Leonard Tungate are heading that up, and Lloyd and Cindy Lacey, and are some of our great friends in the Newcastle area, Muncie, Anderson area. We welcome you to join us then. If you'd like us to come to your church and minister, just get a hold of us at bookings@beaconofhopeministry.com. Ministries, I'm sorry, it's plural. Beaconofhopeministries.com. We're excited about what God is doing. This has been a great show. Connie, mm-hmm. The anointing of God has been very strong here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel God's presence, and I feel that lives have been changed today.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that people are going to walk away from this and know that they've got to learn to be free.
I feel like that our message today was just such a simple one.
Yes.
But, and so I'm afraid some people will think that it's just too simple
right.
to do it, or that we're too simple thinking,
right.
simple-minded to think that that's all there is. But that's all there is.
Right.
You know?
It's all about Jesus, and
yeah.
it's all about letting Him take away the doubts and the fears and the anxieties and all of it.
Yeah. He's not waiting to whack us in the head.
Right. He loves us so much.
Yeah.
He loves you.
He died for us.
Absolutely. Look at you, a brand new creation in Christ. How you have changed over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for what He's doing
Amen.
In each one of us. For those of you out there today that are listening that have all kinds of issues, if you need to talk to somebody, again, email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I'd be happy to talk to you and give you a phone number where you can actually talk to me in person and be ministered to. We want to be available to you. Again, we encourage you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come to Bible study this Wednesday night at Howard Johnson Resort, the corner of US 19 and 580 in Clearwater. If you're in the Newcastle, Anderson, Muncie, Indianapolis area, on June 7th, 6 o'clock, it's an early service because it's going to be powerful.
It'll last all night.
It's going to last all night. You never know. You come.
Hope so.
And for directions and location, you can go to our website and or email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We look forward to next week's radio broadcast. Can't wait. I wish it were starting right now, Connie.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it? And we're expanding the ministry of Beacon of Hope, and we're excited. You know what? It's not far to Jesus.
No.
God bless you. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie Farmer from Beacon of Hope. God bless you. See you next week.
From the love of God, He's always there to hear our prayer and answer when we call. It's
your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no it's not far from me.